Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Thank you so much for joining me on this Tuesday, June the 2nd. I'm going to talk more about it as the program unfolds, but man, I had a tough day today. It's one of those days where, I put out something on Facebook earlier today and also in my daily Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled email devotional about the fact that I was scrolling through my Facebook feed, and Facebook is a good thing. Sometimes it can be very useful for evangelization, for news, for keeping up with families. It can be a good thing. But man, it can also be a real downer, right? You ever feel that way? You go through your news feed, you're feeling okay, and before long, you're scrolling and you're getting fed up, you're feeling dejected. Well, it was a tough day today because I'm looking, and this ties in a little bit to what I talked about on the program yesterday, but not completely, but it's a bit of a follow-up. Look, there's a lot of bad things going on in the world right now. Some unrest, some violence, some frustration, some complaining. It runs the full spectrum from complaining to severe violence that's taking place right now. And really, the coronavirus is really, it seems to me at least anyway, on the back burner while all of these protests are unfolding. But what really got me today is this incredible division. And for some reason, the Lord's just been placing this on my heart lately, that we're called to love one another. I mean, this is what Jesus commands us to do. And I think I shared that quote on Facebook today from Jesus himself. Love one another. I give you a new command. Love one another as I have loved you. I mean, there's no wiggle room there. That's what he says. Love one another as I have loved you. And what I saw, and I appreciate you bearing with me. Let me just vent for a little bit here, and then we'll really get on with the show. It's not going to be a downer of a show, I promise you. But what I saw a lot of is you're wrong, no, you're wrong mentality, and it's within the church, the Catholic Church, between the Catholic Church and different evangelical and Protestant churches, between different races, between people who consider themselves liberal and people who consider themselves conservative, a lot of nastiness. And whereas it's absolutely true that there comes a time when we have to share our opinion and correct somebody, because look, there is a truth. Jesus never said there can be multiple truths. He came to show us that there is one truth. He's the way, the truth, the life. It's his word. And we can have conflicting truths, especially when they conflict with Jesus' word. So there is a truth. But what I see is when people disagree with one another, there's a nastiness, there's personal attacks, there's just sort of a self-righteousness that's becoming obvious. And again, nobody is immune. People who should know better were really spewing venom today. And it's been going on for a long time, let's face it. But it was really apparent today at a time when I think we just could use some unity. And we know that's what Jesus wants. That's what he prayed to his Father before he died, that they could all be one. He wants us to be one. He doesn't want the division. And yesterday I challenged you to be the one, as Mother Teresa said, to be the one. Go out and make that difference. Don't think because you're one person you can't make a difference. You can make a difference. And we all really are called to do that. So today I feel that I need to look at my own life and make sure that I'm living out this new command that Jesus gives us to love one another as I have loved you. And he laid his life down for me. So who am I to get angry at other people, to criticize them, or worse? And I see it happening all over the place. I'm guilty of it, and I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty sure I talked to you about this before on the program. I had a lot of things I wanted to say because it was so frustrating. And it just really upset me. It just brought me down. And I shared it with my wife. And I said, this is what I really feel like saying. And it wasn't anything that bad. But it was just kind of like, well, you should know better, some of you. And she said, why don't you just share the Bible quote, or the quote from Jesus from the Bible. And that was good advice. Because I really believe that sometimes you just got to pause and you got to let the Holy Spirit work and say, what would Jesus post? Right? I mentioned that on the show yesterday. what would Jesus post? Do I really want to do this? Do I really? Because I knew it would happen if I posted something, even though I wasn't necessarily pointing specific fingers. I should say pointing fingers at specific individuals. Somebody would take offense and post something on there, and then I'd get angry, and I'd get myself even more aggravated. So I thought, let me just put the quote from Jesus out there and let the Holy Spirit do his work. But I honestly think that we need to really, really focus on our role, the role that we have to play as peacemakers, as sharers of the good news, as co-workers with Jesus, because he does deputize us to share the good news. We're commissioned to do that. How are we going to do that today? In some way, each one of us can do that. So I you know, after I posted that, I listened to some. One of the things I like to do is listen to music, which really perks me up sometimes. I listen to some great old Southern gospel music. Just I posted a song by the Gaither Vocal Band. They've always been one of my favorite. And it was just a powerful song. I shared it on Facebook, and I just listened to it, and it just lifted me up. It took me to a different place, and I connected with the Lord there, read some scripture, did some praying, and I'm good now. But it really took my peace away. And I know Jesus doesn't want it to take my peace away, but what turned out fixing it for me was connecting, reconnecting with Jesus. And you can do that in a number of different ways, through music, through spiritual reading, through prayer, through the sacraments, however, or a combination of all of these things. And then doing something about it. So I connected with Jesus, and then I shared some things. I'm doing this program. I love this show. It's very therapeutic for me. That's why I'm really blessed that you have supported me since I brought this show back and given me so many good comments. This show is just a lifesaver for me because I get to talk about Jesus, I get to read scripture, and I get to hang out with you. And it really brings me a lot of joy. So thank you for helping me out. There you go, rant over. But let's try to do what we can. Let's make a difference, and let's be really careful about name calling, about pointing fingers, about accusing others. And again, I see it on both sides of the fence, accusing others of not following Jesus or being hypocrites. We don't know what's in anybody's head. We don't. But we also want to be careful that we don't play the religion game. You know that game? I go to church. I read the Bible. This person, they don't. They are a loser. You know, we got to be careful about that, because if you notice, Jesus continually calls out the religious authorities for being hypocrites, and they freak out about that. They ended up killing him because of that. But sometimes when we read I believe every time when we read scripture, especially the Gospels, we want to make sure that we let the Lord talk to us and instruct us and not everybody else. You know, when you hear Jesus talking about being self-righteous and being hypocritical, we don't want to just be pointing to everybody else, even though there could be an element of that. Yes, the world needs to get on board with Jesus and accept him and surrender their lives to him. I get that. But every time you read the gospel, or anytime you read any of scripture, there should be a message or a takeaway that's addressed to you, because none of us are perfect. There's something we all need to do. So when I hear Jesus talking about those who are self-righteous, going through the motions, I got to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how am I falling into this trap? Because every one of us is. If we're not, we're kidding ourselves. Like St. John said in his writings, if we say we're without sin, we're lying, we're deceiving ourselves. So we all fall into this. It's a matter of degree. Yes, some people do it more than others. But my sin is the worst sin around because it's mine. And I think we need to recognize that. And I'm not saying that if I'm telling a lie and somebody's committing a murder, that the lie is a worse sin. It's in my life, it's something I need to focus on more than somebody else committing a murder, because it's controllable by me. It's something I have control over. Do you get what I'm saying? I understand that the sins are, they really can't be compared. But we need to work on the sins that we can control instead of pointing fingers at everybody else. And I'm preaching to myself right now, too. So let's try our best to do that, okay? And that's the way we're going to have peace in life. That's the way we're going to have peace in life, by going and making a difference and spreading the good news, the gospel, to those who we can. Our Facebook friends, our family, our friends, our coworkers, whatever. You know, there are people around us for a reason. Those people need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody's hurting today. A lot of people are hurting today. Somebody needs to be uplifted. How can you share Jesus with that person today, right? And it doesn't have to be words. The smile doesn't have to be scripturally based. Kind word, compliment. You can talk about Jesus. It's always a good thing. You can say you're going to pray for somebody. You know, there's things you can do. So how can you be that one, as Mother Teresa said? Make a difference somehow in the world today. Okay, now I'm really done. today we're going to talk about Psalm 90, which is a really good psalm. It's a reminder of the fact that we got to get busy. That time is marching on. Oh, that sounds really depressing, right? Relax, nobody panic. This is not, it's going to be a good news show. But we have limited time on this earth. And again, I'm not trying to freak anybody out. This is not a newsflash. We all know we're dying. We're going to die one day. Our time on earth is finite. However, today is the day that's given to us, this moment in time. Check your pulse right now. If you're hearing me, you're alive. Thank you, Lord, for that. I'm alive as I'm speaking this. You're alive as you're hearing. We need to work today, to get busy today, to share the good news. In some way, to love God and love one another right now, this moment in time. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. I don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. And that's what this psalm is about. It's taken from the responsorial psalm from today's daily mass. And that's when it hit me during daily mass today. I thought I need to talk about Psalm 90 because it's a good one. And it's a powerful one. I think anything that motivates us to seize the day, to seize the moment more realistically, to seize the moment and do good at the present time, is exactly what we need to remember, what we need to hear. So that's the message I'm going to share with you today. We will talk about Psalm 90. Right now, let's turn our focus to, isn't it cool that we get to do this, that we get to start this show off with prayer? I love it. Absolutely love doing this. We're going to talk to our Heavenly Father today and ask Him to send His Spirit to come alive, not just in me, but in you as well, so that I can speak His message. That's my goal. My desire here is to speak God's message. That's more than half the battle. When it comes to being good and doing the right thing in life, turning from sin, your desire to improve, that's more than half the battle. I don't know the exact percentage, but once you have that desire, God's going to work with it. He's not going to turn you down. Yeah, you're going to have to work as well, but that desire is what's important. So my desire today is to share the Lord's pure message with you and not try to mess it up too much. All right, that's the goal. So we're going to see. Let's see if the Holy Spirit can deliver. But please join me as we recognize we are in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we pray now. Father God, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, master and ruler of the universe, I am so privileged to be able to address you right now and call you my Father. So Abba, Father, I turn to you today as your child, as your little child who is so helpless and so dependent. And I ask you, Father, to help us today with our problems. Father, help us to love one another. Help us to bring peace and not division. Help us to see others as you see them. Help us to recognize that everybody, including those people that drive us crazy, make our skin crawl and get us angry, everybody is created in your image and likeness, and they are all your children. Help us to get that through our heads, Father. We give to you our intentions, our needs, the things that keep us up at night, Father, they are yours. We pray that you end the coronavirus, that you bring peace to not just the country, but to the world. And we pray for a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit this day, brand new outpouring. Fill us up from head to toe with your Holy Spirit so that we may be moved by your Spirit to do your will. May all that we say and do this day give glory to you. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument for the next several minutes of this program. Help me to deliver your message and open all of our minds and hearts to be receptive to what it is that you want delivered. Father, we ask this in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whew. All right, I'm ready now. Thank you for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. For more information about my work, you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, Psalm 90. And, you know, after I do this, you might want to go back and reread this, depending on your Bible version. The wording might be slightly different. I want to read this and I'll comment on it as we go. The whole purpose of this psalm is a reminder that our time on earth is limited and we need God's help to inspire and boost the work that we do so that it can bear great fruit. That's the message here. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Our dwelling place. Is the Lord God your dwelling place? Is he your refuge when you're freaked out, when you are overwhelmed by the problems of life? Do you turn to him? If you don't, give it a try. It really works. You know, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. God the Father is in you. Jesus is in you. They're not separated. And that's a pretty deep concept. Not only is Jesus in you, but you are in Jesus. You know, I'm not going to blow your mind with all this because it's very confusing, but just know that they're very close to you. This Sunday is Trinity Sunday. And on my weekly program, the Gary Zimek Show, I'm going to talk about this. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're your friends. They're with you. They are your refuge. And that's always the way it's been throughout the generations. Not everybody's taking advantage of that great opportunity, but do it. You know, escape from the craziness in your life and in the world. And find your joy in the Lord who's with you. He's your refuge. Before the mountains were born or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So the whole world was created by God out of nothing. And he was God from the beginning of time. He was God before the beginning of time. And this is where it gets really crazy for us. Because God is bigger than time. God created time. He's outside of time. And our finite human minds just can't comprehend that. How can he have always existed? Well, he did. So, you know, like we're not going to figure out everything. We have limited understanding of God. But he existed always. And he created everything, including you, out of nothing. And he doesn't do anything by accident or by chance. You were created because he wanted you to be created, so that he could share his joy with you and be in a relationship with you. That is amazing, isn't it, that he loves us that much? You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night." So to God, 1,000 years, a day, it's the same thing. And this drives us crazy, doesn't it? And that's why when you pray for something, God's not in a hurry, but we are. So if you ever want to find peace in life, you know what you have to do, right? You have to accept his schedule, his time frame. Because if not, you will drive yourself crazy. He will come through when the time is right. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it is dry and withered. So now you might say, Gary, that's not fair. That's a depressing message. Why are you giving it to us today? You're supposed to be inspiring us. Well, it's a call to action. It's a reminder for us because, look, we procrastinate. If I knew I had 50 more years of life, which I know I don't based on my age, I mean, it's a stretch. It's possible, but I really doubt I do. But then if I knew a certain date when I was going to die and I knew how much time I had, there could be a tendency, because I can be a slacker, I'll be honest with you, there could be a tendency to goof off and relax until right before you die, and then try to be good. You know, have as much fun as you want, commit all the sins that you feel like. I know we're not necessarily going to do it, but we might push it a little bit. God wants us to know our time here is limited. Don't waste your time. It's a good thing our time is limited, because you look at the world and you think, like, man, if this is where I'm going to have to be for eternity, right? You hear what I'm saying? So he wants us to get busy. Don't waste the present moment, because that's all we have. And you know, when we focus on the future too excessively or the past, this is what brings about anxiety. So concentrating on the present moment is a great way to rid yourself of excess anxiety. We are consumed by your anger, and I'm going to talk about this because that's harsh language, and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Now, God doesn't get angry because God is perfect. God is immutable. He doesn't change. He's not happy one minute, angry the next minute. This is what's known as an anthropomorphism, where it's pretty impressive that I could say that, right? As I started this, I thought, I better be able to pull this word off. I really didn't know. I think I did it. It's assigning human attributes to God in this case, so that our minds can grasp it. Remember, these Psalms were written thousands of years ago. The understanding of God through the Holy Spirit has developed. And then Jesus came and explained more about the Father. That idea of God has developed. But the thought that God gets angry it really is a human attempt to explain the unexplainable, the mystery of God. He doesn't get angry, but he wants us to live a certain way. He wants us to live a certain way. And that's what he expects us to do. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Again, time on earth is limited. Now, the good news is, if you got problems, if you're suffering right now, your problems are temporary. They will go away. We are not going to be in this life forever. So all of our earthly problems will vanish one day, either while we're still on this earth or after we die. It's temporary. And oftentimes, that makes it easier to take, doesn't it? We know that it is coming to an end. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. We're going to be judged one day. So again, don't get fooled by the harsh language. God's not mean. He's not trying to hurt us or scare us. But he's trying to give us, through the Holy Spirit's inspiration here, a reminder that we're going to be judged one day. And we've got a limited time on this earth to do good, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to assist Jesus and to literally be transformed into the image of Jesus and continue his work. So we got to do it today. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's a great message. To recognize that I've got only X number of days on this earth, and it could be, I could be called home tomorrow. I don't know. Therefore, today, what am I doing to share the gospel with somebody, to love God and to love others? Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. It's a cry out to the Lord for mercy there. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. In some translation, that is rendered as prosper the work of our hands. In other words, let the work that we do, the good that we do, bear fruit. Bear good fruit in the world. Help others to get to know God and get to heaven. That's the psalm. That's Psalm 90. And I think it's a good message. Time is limited. We can waste time doing nothing or complaining. There's a lot of wasted time. I'm guilty of it. So this psalm challenges me. Rather than waste time, and yeah, we do need leisure sometimes. It's okay to watch a mindless TV program or to listen to some secular music. That's totally fine. But you don't want to spend all your time doing that. We were created to do the work of God in this life. And that's also the way we're going to find happiness. So as somebody who has gone down the other route, nothing but self-pleasure, just doing everything that makes me feel good, I can tell you, I can attest to the fact that that will not bring you permanent happiness. You're still going to be miserable. The only thing that's going to bring you happiness is following God every day, connecting with God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and doing His work in the world, letting Him lead you. And you know, you generally do that by following Jesus, following His example, and letting the Holy Spirit inspire you. If you do that, you're going to have peace. And you know what else is going to happen? The world is going to be a better place. If you can help one person today, that's one person who would not have been able to experience the Lord's peace or His love today. That makes a big difference. So why don't you see what you can do today to make the world a better place? Bring some peace in the world somehow. Put a nice comment on Facebook. Compliment somebody. Pray for someone who is hurting. Pray for peace. And ask the Holy Spirit to guide you so that you can be His hands and feet in the world, okay? All right, it was great hanging out with you. I have got to run. Please, 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 if you are able to sustain my ministry by making a donation, I would urge you to go to my website, followingthetruth.com. Click on donate and either become a monthly sponsor. I would really appreciate that. I really need some additional sponsors right now. Running a little dry right now. Understandably, it's tough out there. But if you can do that, it would really help me. Followingthetruth.com is the place to do that. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Have yourself a wonderful day. Again, go out there, make a difference, be Jesus to somebody today. God bless you.